I remember my fellow pastor friend Ken Wade telling me about hearing two people arguing once about whether Jesus ever laughed. You know what? Neither of them was smiling. Well, that set Ken to thinking, though. Did Jesus laugh? Ken never came up with a definite answer until one morning as he sat at his computer with tears streaming down his face as he retold a familiar Bible story in a new way. No, Ken doesn't usually talk to his computer. He usually tells it stories with his fingers flying over the keyboards because he's a writer. So when Ken and I produced a radio broadcast dozens of years ago, he set himself the challenge of telling a story about Jesus in a new way at least once a week and sending it out via email to anyone who wanted to read it. It was a blog, and I used to read it too. His mailing list has grown through the years, and now hundreds of people have around the world receive his fresh take on the gospel every week. So I joined Ken for several weeks studying the events following the resurrection of Jesus. And this particular morning, as he retold one particular story, Ken found himself crying. Laughter tears that just welled up in his eyes and ran down his cheeks as he bent over, almost doubled up with laughter. Now, what could be so funny in a gospel story, you ask? Well, see if you can find it in the story I'll share today in a series of messages we called The Third Call. Turn in your Bible to two of them, focusing on the story told in John 21 of Jesus meeting the disciples at the Sea of Galilee after his resurrection. Notice as we pick up the story in verses 7 and 8 of John 21. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Now, why did Peter put his clothes on to go swimming? Well, according to the Bible Almanac, Hebrew men wore an outer garment consisting of a square or oblong strip of cloth, 2 to 3 meters, 80 to 120 inches wide. This garment, miyil, was called the coat or robe or mantle. It was wrapped about the body as a protective covering, with two corners of the material being in front. Well, it doesn't sound much like a swimming suit to me, does it to you? Now, I always assumed that it was out of respect for the Lord that Peter put on his cloak before swimming to shore. After all, you wouldn't want to go to see Jesus in your underwear or no clothes at all, would you? But in fact, the inner garment Peter was wearing in the boat was quite common apparel for outdoor work, like fishermen. People working in the fields would not even have their cloak or outer garment with them. See Matthew chapter 24, verse 18. The King James Version of the Bible says that Peter was naked in the boat. The New American Standard Bible has perhaps the most accurate translation, for he was stripped for work. In other words, he was dressed like any workman or fisherman you might see daily in Palestine. He was dressed the way that he was when he received the second call from Jesus in Luke 5 verses 1 to 11. There was nothing shameful about his attire. Now, earlier, as a prelude to that second call, Jesus had gotten into Peter's boat after the disciples had spent another long, unsuccessful night fishing and had told him to let down his nets in broad daylight. Not a good time for that kind of fishing. And the nets were filled. Now, after his resurrection, Jesus has worked a reprise of that miracle, calling to the seven disciples in the boat after their long, fruitless fishing expedition. In John 21, verse 6, Jesus tells them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. Well, the net fills with fish. And the disciples suddenly realize that it is Jesus' voice they hear coming to them across the water. Peter's immediate impulsive response is to go to the Lord. Now, stop tape. Refocus the camera. And let's bring another encounter between Jesus and Peter into this picture. Remember the story back in Matthew 14 about Jesus walking on the water in a terrific storm towards the disciples, calling across the water to a discouraged, disappointed group of fishermen disciples in a boat? Peter responded that time by saying in verse 28, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And at Jesus' word, Peter walked on the water to go to his master. Picture it now in this particular story. This time, Peter is sure it's the Lord. He doesn't have to ask questions. He's a man of faith. He knows for sure what faith can do. And so what does he do? Does he dive into the water and swim to shore? Or just try to walk on water to the shore? I don't think so. The picture I see is of a man dressing up to go for a walk, not for a swim. Now, can you see it? Go to the Bible and read the passage for yourself. Notice that it doesn't say anything about Peter swimming to shore. Notice that when the boat got to the shore, Peter went up, not down, and dragged the net to shore, verse 11. In other words, he didn't swim ahead of the boat to shore. I can see Peter, full of faith, throwing on his cloak, climbing onto the gunwales, and taking a bold step out onto the water, plunging feet first straight to the bottom, biting his way up, 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 looking toward the light at the surface, grabbing onto the net full of fish behind the boat to pull himself, gasping, to the surface, coming up sputtering, a look of shock and utter consternation on his face. There's a huge lesson here. Have you ever set out to go to the Lord walking by faith, ready to walk on water if need be, only to plunge to the depths? Take heart. Maybe it's part of the training school through which Jesus is leading you in preparation for your third call. Because notice now in John 21, 8 and 11, that third call of Jesus to Peter. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Now, a moment ago, we see Peter's plunge into the sea. I'm guessing that he never intended to have to swim to shore. He put on his suit, his tuxedo and tie. He probably planned to walk on the water, as he had done before. But he ended up getting all soaking wet. Notice in verse 11 that John tells us Peter went up and dragged the net to land. If Peter was already on the shore when the boat arrived, the account would no doubt picture him going down to the water to bring the net up. There's no mention of Peter making it to shore ahead of the boat. So the picture I get is of Peter coming up sputtering from his unexpected dunking, grabbing onto the net behind the boat and being towed to shore. When the boat arrives, he comes up out of the water, pulling the net with him. Now, let me ask you a question. Can you picture Jesus seeing that? Laughing? What about the disciples? Fishermen? Do you think they were all a bunch of stogy, serious, old, long faces who never gave way to gales of laughter when someone told a funny story? Well, can you follow with me on this or not? But I like to picture this story with lots of laughter involved. I see quick, impetuous Peter throwing on his cloak, his tuxedo, hastily girding it around himself, in his excitement, getting one foot up on the gunwales before he even has his girdle tied right, and then stepping out and up, and splash! The other disciples have hardly had time to figure out what's going on. They look over the edge of the boat, and all they can see is bubbles. They look at each other, puzzled expressions on their faces. What happened? Where's Peter right now? Where's he gone? And then finally, behind the boat, here he comes, sputtering to the surface, looking no less puzzled than the others and a lot more chagrined. When theologian Ken Wade carefully researched that passage, he laughed so hard at that picture he had tears on his chin when he pictured the scene. And can you see the other disciples roaring with laughter? Can you see Jesus on the shore joining in, pointing his finger, maybe putting his hands on his hips, just doubling over, enjoying the joke on Peter? Can you see Peter at last looking angry and embarrassed, maybe wounded, but finally giving way to a smirk and then a chuckle and finally a wholehearted laugh? I don't know. Maybe you have trouble with that picture. Maybe you can't see Jesus laughing at Peter's predicament. Who created us with a sense of humor? Who designed joy and joy in human beings to be able to laugh? I've learned enough about the Savior to realize that he enjoyed a good joke, or at least pulling surprises on people. I love the image of the laughing Jesus. It makes him so much more human and lovable to me. You see, Jesus was preparing Peter for the third call, and there was an important lesson for the disciple to learn from this experience. Something we can learn too. It's easy to assume that as long as we keep our eyes on Jesus, as long as we're walking toward him, things should go our way. It's easy to think that because the Lord has blessed us once with a special gift, such as walking on water, he'll always give it to us when we think we need it. But all of these things are gifts from the Lord, not to be presumed on. Sometimes it takes a cold dunking in reality to wake us up. Does God laugh at us as we come sputtering to the surface, bubbles bursting? I don't think he laughs at us, but he may laugh with us when we look back and remember. So, the laughter of Jesus. Yes, I think Jesus could laugh, and that he enjoyed doing so. After all, he's the one who made us with a laugh reflex in the first place. So why would he refuse to use it? He enjoyed joining in with people in all their times of joy as well as their times of sorrow. And he did whatever he could to keep the times joyful, as he did that Wednesday night at the wedding feast in Cana, the night we'll talk about in our next devotional.